Coming up on Something Is About to Happen.
Don't let the enemy pull your triggers. Because once he starts pressing your buttons, you will fall out of grace and fall under the law. Where you now move from putting your dependence on God and you now start putting your dependence on performance, self-effort. And by that, you discard, as in the manner of speaking, the help you get from God because you think you can do it yourself. My subject this morning is simply put, rooted to reign. God wants you to reign in life. And life there is a position at the right hand of all sovereign authority in glory in heaven. I want you to reign in life. So that your life is lived from heaven to earth. From the right hand of glory right here on earth. So that you are not by yourself. You are inwardly empowered by God Almighty, the Sovereign, who would not leave you to beaver, but chose to install himself in all who believe upon the redemptive work of his Son and the Redeemer himself. Therefore, Paul writes to us in Romans 8 and verse 1, and he tells us, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And God has allowed me to be exposed to condemnation. And as I prepared, I stumbled on these words that condemnation actually really kills. It is the effect of the law of sin and death. And I'm enjoined by understanding to take it very seriously. Because at the root of disease, sickness, anxiety, stress is condemnation. Stress is dangerous. But condemnation is far more dangerous than stress. Stress gives cancer. It brings about leukemia. It causes more than 70% of the diseases known to medical science, according to one study. And I'm sure there are other studies. What I'm trying to say to you is that your life problems are not the root of your stress. But they are the fruit of it. The root determines the outcome of the fruit. I mean, I didn't know that up to 70, possibly 80% of all sicknesses are caused by underlying stress. And they take their time to fester and to foster serious degenerative disease and condition. The deeper root of stress is fear. Listen carefully. The fear of failing in life. The fear of failing at parenting. The fear of failing at being a husband. The fear of failing at providing. The fear of failing at work or at career. The fear of failing to the disgrace or the embarrassment of those to whom you are accountable. And those to whom you are responsible. The fear of not enough to thrive or survive. The fear of death. The fear of defeat, the fear of peril, the fear of losing the court case upon which so much hangs. The fears of life, they are many. And the Bible says that fear has torment. But perfect love casts out fear. And so the only way you can really deal with fear, you must be deeply convinced of the nature, the manner, the competence, and the capacity of the love of God and how he made a way for that love to be abundantly provided to you so that you would never have to fear anything, even in the face of fear. Now, medical science has detected that the fear is at the root, or it's the underlying factor in stress. But that is as far as medical science goes. It's as far as medical science can go. Science cannot touch the real root of all because it is not a natural thing. Science cannot go to the real root of fear Because the real root of fear is not scientific, it's not natural. It is spiritual. What I mean to say to you is that the deepest root of all condemnation, or the deepest root of all fear and stress, underlying fear and stress, is something called condemnation. And we have to deal with it. Hallelujah. Because where there is condemnation, there will be fear. Where there is fear, there will be stress. Where there is stress, it causes the manifestation of the curse. By the curse, I refer to the curse on Adam and Eve, the progenitor of all humanity. So let's look at the curse in Eden more studiously. I want you, as we look at the curse in Eden, to understand that Eden was a finished work. And when we say finished work, we imply or infer grace. In other words, Adam did not have to create Eden. It was completely set in place and in order. And Adam was then planted in a finished work to attend to its growth. And by growth, it was meant to spread across all of Eden. The garden was not the same thing as Eden. The garden was in Eden. Eden was in the east. The east was in the world. And so he's, by the gratuity of God, he's planted in everything he needs. But whilst he's there, God has allowed the enemy to be armed and to be present as a threat to Adam, that if Adam fails in his faith, he will yield to the enemy. And this is why I want to pause for a moment and caution us. Don't let the enemy pull your triggers. Because once he starts pressing your buttons, you will fall out of grace and fall under the law. Where you now move from putting your dependence on God, and you now start putting your dependence on performance, self-effort. And by that, you discard, as in a manner of speaking, the help you get from God. Because you think you can do it yourself. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with things this morning. And whilst God provided everything for Adam in the garden, there were two paramount trees. They were not opposite equals, but they were opposite. And one was called the tree of life, and that tree of life is Christ. And the other was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you study the tree carefully, you will understand that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a picture of the law. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil causes you to know sin, which you did not know before you ate of the law. And I'll express and explain that more aptly in a few moments. So Adam is in the midst of the garden. And who is Adam like? Who is he like before the fall? He is like God. God had said to Adam, or of Adam, before he created Adam, mankind, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Why? So that they can have dominion. So the nature of God is dominion. And Adam was just like God and was fashioned in God's image. So you will look at Adam and you see God. You encounter Adam and you experience God. That's what likeness and image means. And Satan, the Bible says, was subtle. And he came with his craft and moved upon Adam via his weak point. Somebody who was not as schooled as him by God, because he was the teacher, the intermediary, the priest of his house, the prophet of his house. He normally uses a surrogate or something around that's weaker in understanding. And he asked the question, has God really said that you should not eat of this tree? He comes with questions. He brings an argumentativeness. He said, of course, God said we shouldn't. If we eat of it, we're surely going to die. He said, no. God is trying to withhold godlikeness from you. And he stole her knowledge of God and her knowledge of her own godlikeness by saying to her, subtly, God doesn't want you to be like him. But if you eat this tree, you will become like him. In other words, of course you want to be like God. But if you don't know you are already like him, you will desire to be like him because he's the most desirable. He's the desire of eternity, the desire of the ages. You understand it? So he had temptation down to a T, yet there had never been a man before then for him to tempt. This was driven by his lust for eternal divinity. He wanted to be God, and he wasn't. And then he sees mankind, they are gods, but he is not. And she saw, because of his words, that the tree was good for food, it was desirable, and it was going to enable her to become like God, based on a deception. But look carefully with me at Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He stole her own furniture from her and was selling it back to her with counterfeit money. Now, I said all that because I want to go here. Adam was already like God, but he believed the devil. Really, it was Eve. Yeah? And what really happened here is, as they ate the fruit, they fell and the curse came. And the root of the curse is condemnation. Hallelujah. So before there was poverty, sickness, and death in Adam's life, there was first stress. Before there was stress, there was first fear. Before there was fear, there was first condemnation. So it's a system. The sentence was already there awaiting Adam's sin. And the moment Adam sinned, the sentence that had been pre-pronounced, that the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And the moment he ate of it, death occurred. He was separated from his connection, from his rootedness with God. Instantaneously, he lost his root. And the result of losing that root is he came under sentence, judgment, condemnation, and the result of that condemnation is it brought fear, the fear of death, the fear of being without God, the fear of being without his support, his favor, his kindness. All I've known of him is grace, because I was planted with everything available to me that I did not work, or I did not work for. Mind is the control center of your whole being. If you can control your mind, you can control your life and its eventual outcome. One of the things that Satan's always going to try to take from you is your revelation. Your revelation defines who you are, defines your life purpose, defines your message, defines your connection with the God who's able to empower you to do the impossible as it concerns your life purpose. You won't get to the promised destiny unless you align your thinking with God's spirit and you have schooled your mind, which controls your emotions, your choices, and your life. And so if you're going to understand the spirit, you must understand the word. Not know the word, understand it. God has plans of peace and prosperity, not plans of woe and pain. So a believer has technically an uncrushable spirit. The enemy doesn't want you thinking that, so he tries to block out what God's spirit is saying to your spirit, that your spirit is now saying to your mind, so that you never get what God is trying to give you. It's not how much faith you have, big or small. It's simply coming to the presence of the Master and knowing and having confidence that he is able to fix it. God never turns his back on any measure of faith. Like David, you say, sit down, O my soul. Why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God. Is he not the helper of your countenance? When your spirit got through to your mind and you heard God in the word say, be strong and of a very good courage, like he said to Joshua, all of a sudden your mind said, I can do this. The enemy never sees you coming. And he disdains you as a result of the secret in your heart. You're able to do things that even if you said it out loud, Satan won't get it. God always stands with those who are courageous based on this principle. Just be calm and unfazzled. Don't let the devil see you stop. Look with me at Genesis 3, verse 19. And God says to Adam, in the sweat of your face, you will eat bread till you return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. In other words, what is sweat? Stress. You're not meant to sweat. You're not meant to stress to achieve anything. Your life is supposed to be easy. Because it's not you that's meant to work. It's Christ working in you and through you. You are a vessel. That's how it's supposed to be. But because of the fall, judgment comes on him. He loses his connection to the taproot. As a result, the supply of energizing grace, empowerment, is no longer there. Yeah? Do you get it? Then fear creeps in. Because now God notices something has happened, and he comes in the cool of the evening looking for Adam. And he said to Adam in verse 10 of Genesis, "Where are you?" And Adam answers in verse 10 and he says, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked." Who told you you were naked? How do you know you were naked? You were always naked, but you had a spiritual connection in your life that covered your own nakedness from your own eyes. Because you were covered by the glory of God, you were hid in Christ, in God, pre-incarnate Christ, in God. You were hid there. So you were completely clothed upon by the one who is almighty. He was your garment, apart from being your inner fullness. Who told you you were naked? And he said, because I knew I was naked, I hid myself. And God asked him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you must not eat? And Adam was in trouble. Fear started to rule his life. Death, as a result of the condemnation, started to rule his life. But please understand that the fear, it gripped Adam. That's why he went to hide from everything, including creation and its creator, because he was scared. But before Adam was fearful, he first felt condemnation. Why? Because he entered into divine sentence, divine judgment that had been pre-pronounced on occasion of sin. And I want you to hear this. The law condemns. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a picture of the law. Because the law gives us the knowledge of good and evil. Romans 3 verse 20, the B clause. For by the law, I came to know what sin is. Without the law, wrongdoing was not wrong. I would not have known. So the law reveals your crime in the secular world, but the law of Mosaic origin reveals your sin. God did not give the law for man to live by it. But he gave the law to show us our sin nature and thereby realize our need for a savior. Let me phrase it another way. He gave us the law to show us the sin nature we inherited from Adam's death. So that thereby, our nature being revealed to us, we would recognize our need for a savior. You know, some people come to church for 25 years. And they never come to the saving knowledge relationally with Christ. Because they've done everything they do in self-effort and earthly performance. And they do well at it, whilst they hide their wrongdoings. But there's a point where you come to, where you recognize by how severe the law is and how condemnatory it is that you need a savior. That this law cannot save you. Please, can I get a witness? Condemnation is a very bad thing. So the law then brings about the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of your sin. The knowledge of your sin causes you to feel condemned. And I want to charge you as a people, stop thinking of the law as a code for doing right or for not doing wrong. Stop it. Stop using it as a code for your performance. That's not what it's there for. That is a misuse of the law. Like I said, the law is good, it is perfect, it is righteous, it is holy. But the law has no power to make you good, righteous, perfect, or holy. It's like a mirror. If I put up the mirror, I will see the acne, the spots, the blackheads. I'll see all that's wrong. But I can't take the mirror and use it to cure my problem. It cannot. The Bible says the letter killeth. The Bible says concerning the law that it is a ministry or an administration of death. Hallelujah. So its purpose is to show me that I need a